Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Don't look now, but the grout in my shower is disgusting. What am I going to do?
Hey, man, no worries. It's Saturday morning. Just call Lou, bruh.
And what's that over there? My hardwood floors have a haze.
No, but seriously, Lou is the best. Just pick up the phone, 312-981-7200. He's your friend, man.
And do I hear a scratching? Oh, wait. It's just the rodents in the attic.
No worries here on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Now here's your host, Lou Manfredini. He's here till 10 on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Don't worry, be happy.
That's me. Hi, everybody. 7:14 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services. We have a very busy show today. We're wine tasting this morning, boys. After 9:30 this morning, I'm going to need your help. Will you have a glass of wine, Sam?
Of course. Lindsay texted me like 6:30. Hey, do you have a corkscrew? I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Domatidi, I think that's where she is. She's not anywhere to be found because she's trying to find a corkscrew.
Lindsay is actually in here looking for a corkscrew as we speak.
Yeah. I could use her help here producing the radio show, and we'll find a corkscrew. We have till 9:30 this morning.
I've got a knife.
Yeah, well... You know, I've seen.
I'm sure Sam knows some tricks.
Have you ever been to? Have you ever seen the trick where the guy for the? I think it's for champagne. Uses like a sword to pop off the thing. Have you ever seen that trick?
I've got a buddy that does that all the time.
Yeah, could he come by with a sword?
I'll call.
We do have a. We'll find a wine opener. We, you know, there's a lot of details that go into this. We have a thing with Binnie's today where they're up until Thanksgiving or no, I think till Christmas. We're going to try out some wines, and these are all on special. There's different pricing, and so we're going to do a little wine tasting. But the lovely AE that put this all together just missed that one thing. She brought the wine. She brought the cups. But we got to be able to open the wine, and we're a radio station, not a restaurant. So we'll get that. That's fine. Don't worry about it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lots coming up today. Really busy show. We have a really interesting Noodaloo 2 that if you have drywall in your home, you're going to love this because it's easy to hang stuff up on the wall. We have a video up at my Facebook page showing it, and Sam's going to want to watch that video because I'm wearing the latest in chicken dinner wear in the video.
Yeah.
So shout out to you.
Woohoo!
So I don't know if Lindsay put your chicken dinner website up on the video, but we'll give that out later.
We'll teach her.
So that's our Noodaloo 2. And then this time of year, obviously, we're getting ready for a lovely Thanksgiving banquet, many of us. Getting together with our family and our friends and celebrating and being thankful. The Northern Illinois Food Bank's going to come in. We're going to talk about their needs and how they provide meals to families really 24/7 and 12 months of the year. But this is a time when we really need to focus on that. And then a little bit of a switch and kind of goes a little bit kind of tied into our wine tasting. But there's a young man named Eric Peterson who's from the Chicagoland area who's currently starring in the Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville show. They're going to be part of the Magnificent Mile parade that's going on today. Well, my producer and her handsome father went to go see the show, and she couldn't believe how much fun she had. And she thought that wouldn't it be cool to talk to this guy? He's a local guy, and... We were going to try and get him to be our bar. He plays the bartender in the show, and we thought that, he could be our bartender when we taste the wine. But for some reason, the PR people don't want him to do that. But that's fine. You know, I hate to be told what I can't do.
Oh, I know. I thought of that immediately.
Right. You just tell me that I can't do it, and that is, you know, this is a thing for you young people out there. You want to be successful in life, you got to go do things. And the people that tell you can't do things, don't spend any time with them.
Do you think he would bring a corkscrew for us, speaking of bartender?
I bet if you called him, he would. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find a corkscrew. Don't worry. And then later on this morning, we're going to talk to Binnie's. We're going to taste test Binnie's holiday wines. Which will be a lot of fun. It'll be fun. So
somebody texted you, Lou, use the shoe trick to open the bottles. What is the
shoe
trick?
The shoe trick?
I don't know what that is.
I've never heard the shoe trick.
I will hit the Google machine.
To open up a bottle of
you
wine.
You guys have never done the shoe trick?
Oh, look who's got an answer now.
Yeah. I'm serious.
What is it?
You put the bottom of the bottle into the heel of the shoe, and then you kind of slam the shoe against the wall, that heel, and the pressure kind of forces the corkscrew out.
And then we'll drive you to the hospital when you have a shard in your heel.
Exactly. It's very dangerous.
You put the bottom of the bottle in the shoe.
Yep, in the heel of the shoe.
And this works for wine.
And this works for wine.
And so I'm building up pressure in the bottle, and then it slowly pushes the cork out?
As you kind of bang it against the wall, yeah. But I've never had it fully push the cork all the way out. I've seen it loosen the cork a little bit, and then you can kind of jimmy it out a little bit. Oh, I've also used a hammer and a nail before, Lou.
Well,
I've had some rough times in my life.
So here's the thing. You know, I'm thinking to myself, Lindsay, I may actually have a wine opener in my car. I think I just might.
Why do you think that?
I don't know.
Why all of a sudden are you getting this
memory? Well, because
once
when Domati said a hammer and a nail, like, well, I have that in my car. I got a toolbox in my car, and I have nail. I have, really, quite frankly, I have a hammer and some screws. We could easily put a screw in the top of the wine bottle, and I could take the hammer and pry it out.
This is how we make this part of the Mr. Fix-It show.
Right.
It all ties
back together. I'm going to take a screw and a hammer. The shoe thing. I think you'd break the bottle, potentially. Like, you'd get it too aggressive. We'll figure it out. 312-981-7200 is the phone number that Chuck in Bucktown called. Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I thought all Mr. Fix-It fans carry a Swiss Army knife that would have a corkscrew.
Well, I got to tell you that I used to carry one of those little multi-tools, but the problem is I travel so much that if you have it in your pocket, you know, the TSA... I stopped doing it. I think now you probably could, but I just stopped doing it altogether. So,
yeah, they're great.
Right.
So I've got some great maple kitchen cabinets. They're about 25 years old, custom made, great. And every once in a while, the hinges loosen up. And I know the old trick my dad taught me, you know, because it's wood, put a little toothpick in a screw hole.
Yep.
But here's the problem. If enough of the hinges loosen up, when I tighten it up and I close the door, they don't level and sometimes they hit. And I just can't figure out how to get it perfectly perpendicular. When I tighten them up, the hinge doors are always on a little bit of an angle and they don't have that perfect, you know, parallel line in there. Any tricks or suggestions for how to... Because once you close it, you can't readjust it because the hinge is on the inside.
Right.
And,
are these European hinges, meaning that you don't see them?
Right.
Right. So
not the pin hinge, the European hinges.
So it's got two screws that hold onto the box, and then there's a round hinge that goes in there.
Correct.
So I'll tell you what I would do. If the cabinets look great and those hinges are, I would replace all the hinges.
Okay.
The hardware's just worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And so 25 years later, those European hinges, they pin and work. There's a plastic bushing inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And that bushing wears out.
Gotcha.
And so that perfect alignment that you're looking at is not going to happen until you get hardware that's consistent. And the reason I say replace it all, because if you just replace, it's just the left cabinet. Well, that one you'll have great adjustment on, but the right one you won't. And you could go to a hardware store and get their Amerirock has these replacement hinges that'll fit right exactly how you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Change them all out, put those in. You'll have a nice range of adjustment. I just went through this myself with the rental property that I own. Those are 20-year-old cabinets that look great, but need a little help. And I just swapped out all the hardware. And after I cleaned up the cabinets, we put new countertops on. It looks like $1 million.
You wouldn't have to make any new holes in terms of where that wrong brown part. They're all standard.
It's pretty standard. I mean, I'll take one with you, align it all up, because there's a couple of different versions of the circled part that goes inside the cabinet, but you'll find the right ones. They're definitely available.
All right. I try and hopefully get it done before Thanksgiving when everybody comes
You
over.
Got it. You got
Thanks,
it, Chuck.
Ruth.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And you know what it's time for, right? It's time to hop in the car and head to your Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois, open every day from 9 until 6. Here's Beth and Roselle. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Lou. I have a strange question. I have a laundry room upstairs, and it used to be about once a month, but now it's like every other day, a horrible smell is coming out of this laundry room and kind of permeating my upstairs and coming downstairs. I have a laundry room sink up there, so I've been flushing the sink with like 2 gallons of water and then pouring just a little bit of bleach at the very end so it'll sit in the bottom of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's doing it. It's still coming back. The smell comes back every couple of days.
Okay. It's a laundry room, not a closet.
Right.
And the washing machine drains into what? Is there a box in the wall where the hose goes in?
You know, I called.
Or does it go into the sink?
It doesn't go into the sink. I know that. It must go into the wall. It's got to go into the wall because it doesn't go in the sink.
Okay. And do you know in your laundry room, do you have a floor drain?
I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
You must.
You think so?
I mean, was the laundry room that was it built into the house?
Yeah, we built the house.
You built the house. So, when?
Yeah. 20 years ago.
Yeah. You probably have a floor drain that's under...
Underneath the
it would have been the code would have been required it because it's on the second floor, right? I bet you your floor drain, the P traps. No. The P trap has evaporated, and that's what you're smelling.
Oh, okay.
So my guess is have someone help you pull the washing machine out.
Uh-huh.
You're going to see a drain there, okay?
Uh-huh.
And what I want you to do is take a bucket of water and pour water down the drain.
Okay.
You know, and you're going to probably spill a little, so keep a rag or towel there. And then once you get done pouring it, like, it's taking all the water, there you go, you know, like a gallon of water, then I want you to take a little extra virgin olive oil.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. I just want you to take some oil. You can take vegetable oil, but I like the extra virgin olive oil. And I want you to pour, like, 2 tablespoons into the drain.
All right.
Oil is going to sit on top of the water, and it's going to keep it from evaporating.
Okay.
But if you get a leak or something, the drain's going to work.
And how long will that last?
More than 20 years.
It will?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Great.
I bet that's your problem. And then the other thing you're going to do is, are you having people over for Thanksgiving?
Yes. I'm not going to do any laundry.
You're going to be disgusted at how much lint there is behind the washing machine. You're going to be so happy that you did this.
Okay. That was the last room I was going to clean for this event. But,
you got your project for today.
Thank you so
much. Happy Thanksgiving, Beth.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
You calling this morning.
And now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, you hear the name Bob Ferguson a lot on the air. He's our engineer in the morning. But he's also a very funny guy. He sort of reminds me a little bit of Norm from Cheers. You know how when Norm used to walk in and the bar and everybody would be like, Norm! And then he would have like a joke. And so I come in here early in the morning, you know, like you guys, and I see Ferguson. I go, good morning, Ferguson. He goes, it's a PermaSeal morning. I think that PermaSeal should make a billboard like that. When it rains like that, everybody's worried about their basement leaking. And they should say, it's a PermaSeal morning, 800-421-SEAL. That was pretty funny. That made me chuckle this morning. So thank you, Fergie, for making me laugh. 7:39 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's go to Salem, Wisconsin. That's where Jim is, and he called in. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you this fine day?
I'm great. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Same to you, sir. Same to you. Hey, we live on a private well, and we're getting a lot of rust, you know, because it's that time of the year throughout the system. And what my lovely daughter did is she decided to clean the bathroom, take the rust off the tub. It's a fiberglass shower enclosure. Mm-hmm. And what she did is she took the scouring powder and she took off the glaze. So now
she got rid of the rust, though.
She sure did, but now I can't get it off. I tried clear, and that ate the drain.
Yeah,
because of the metal.
Right.
So we have a twofold problem. We got it. Well, the drain is still okay, but I've got rust all over the place. How do I, besides ripping it out? Because I did call two bath places, and they want an extraordinary amount of money to replace it.
Okay, so she, all right, so when she took the scouring pad and some powder or whatever, what does this tub look like now?
It's not, it doesn't have the gel coat anymore on it.
Right, and but the rust is gone?
No, the rust is coming back, but the rust is adhering to the unglazed fiberglass.
Right, even better than it was before.
Oh, absolutely. It's been bonding like glue.
Yeah. Okay, so, you've got, it's a fiberglass tub and walls, correct?
Yeah. It's one of those contractor's tub shower enclosures.
And is this the one that gets used all the time?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Your only chance, or, you know, to make it better, and it's not it's not a great choice, that you can do yourself, is you need to reglaze it all yourself.
Okay, but so it's a fiberglass tub.
No, that's fine.
I went to...
No, hold on. Hear me out. So is it pretty sound? You know, in other words, when you're in it and you're standing in there taking a shower, does it move a lot?
No. Okay. It's perfectly sound.
All right, good. Back. All right, great. So you're going to... You're going to get a sanding. You're going to get that daughter, the lovely daughter that she is, and you're going to you're going to sand down the entire enclosure. And in a perfect world, you're going to take a little bit of that glaze coat off. You don't have to take it all off, but you want to get it as smooth as possible.
Well, no, I think all the glaze coat is gone because I can feel, is she really scrubbed?
Got it.
You know
what color? Yeah. What color is the tub?
It's white.
Okay. And is there a separation between the tub and the walls?
No. It's a one piece.
Okay.
Right.
Rust-Oleum makes an epoxy coating that you can do yourself on a tub. And it's a self-leveler. You probably, for an enclosure, you may need 2 quarts, not just one, because I think 1 quart will do a tub. And if you follow the instructions on that, you're going to buy yourself... It's going to look amazing when you're done.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're probably going to get a good 3 years of performance out of it by just using a soft scrub when you go to clean it. And then it at least buys you some time that if you're going to eventually replace this thing, you know, you can save up some money and do it later on.
Well, great.
All right.
Hey, I got one more thing for you, Lou.
Sure.
Are you going to be sampling 19 Crimes wine this morning?
What is it?
By chance, 19 Crimes.
19?
It's an Australian. Yeah, 19 Crimes. It's a Australian wine with pictures on the bottle. And if you, there's an application, it's called Augmentation Reality. And if the dealer knows about this, he can show you. He can actually make the bottle talk.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Very
so if you're
cool.
Be yeah. If you're going to be sampling 19 Crimes, download the application on your phone and then hold your phone over the label.
That's funny.
And it will actually tell you why the criminals got sent to Australia back in the 1800s.
There you go. They probably drank too much wine. I appreciate the phone call, Jim. Thanks so much. 7:44 in the morning. That's not on our list of wines today, but... We'll look into that as well. We'll be back with our new Tulu 2 right after this.
Hey, folks, Mike North here. Christmas is coming, and not all of the Christmas light sets are working. Do you know about the Lightkeeper Pro? This cool Yule tool can fix most light sets in seconds. It's done by pulling one bulb out of a failed light set, inserting the tool, and pulling the trigger. Folks, it works. Don't ask me how. It just does. Available almost everywhere light sets are sold, the Lightkeeper Pro is under $20 and comes complete with batteries. This gadget even includes a fuse tester and extra bulbs. Just like me, the Lightkeeper Pro is invented right here in Chicago. So remember, when your light sets blow, get the Lightkeeper Pro.
We've all heard those terrible first date stories, right? Sometimes things are awkward, or there's nothing in common, or things just don't go well. Believe me, I know how that goes. Hey, it's Kevin Powell here, and I can honestly say that since I've turned to the dating professionals at It's Just Lunch, those painful first dates are a thing of the past. And here's why. The matchmakers at It's Just Lunch have gotten to know me on a personal level. They know what I'm looking for. They know what I'm interested in. The first time I met with my matchmaker, Catherine, she got to know me in a very thorough, casual conversation. Look, I tried online dating, but the problem is you never really know what you're going to get. This is why so many people have turned to the dating professionals at It's Just Lunch. Their matchmakers get to know you, then they personally hand-select matches from their exclusive database. It's Just Lunch pre-screens all your matches in advance, so there's no surprises. They even book your reservations at the best date spots in Chicago. Couldn't be any easier. Stop playing relationship roulette and start meeting people you can actually see a future with. Call 312-881-5225 or visit itsjustlunchchicago.com to learn more. Call today and be dating tomorrow.
Do you think Kevin's dating too much? He goes on all these lunches. When is he going to find Mrs. Wright?
How is he affording all this? That's my question.
Right. The lunches are expensive.
Also, dates don't want to go to lunch. They want to go to dinner.
Yeah?
Well, that's not true, Sam.
Nah.
Do you have anybody in your life right now, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you meet her? Did you have lunch?
I didn't meet her at lunch. I promise you that.
Okay. Wow.
I honestly think that, you know, Kevin, he's a catch.
Oh,
he's
I do, too.
He's a catch.
He
I'm
is a catch.
You. He's a catch, but all these lunches. First of all, the other thing, too, is you keep going to these lunches, you're going to get fat, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I like the guy with a little meat on his bones. You know what I mean? But, I mean, you got to be careful what you eat, right? And
yes.
Never order ribs.
No ribs.
No ribs.
No.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah, or like hot wings.
No hot wings. You want
That's
me to read
I didn't
this?
Get that second date. Okay.
What second date, right. Remember that. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever had Heckies in Evanston? Heckies? You wouldn't have.
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. They have this rib tip meal that I used to get when we used to be contractors working up in that area. I mean, the oil and the grease that would come off of that, you would just want to take a nap the rest of the day. It was so good.
I bet it fell off the bone.
Oh, in Evanston, Heckies. I think it's still there. Used to go there for lunch back before my wife used to tell me, before she would know what I ate for lunch. Now she does. I couldn't have Heckies now. Well, I could, but I couldn't come home. Don't have Heckies for lunch if you take a date. Don't go to take a date to Heckies for your first date, for
what,
sure.
What, do you show up with a white T-shirt covered in sauce? How does she know?
Probably. I mean, back
okay.
then, you know.
All right, well.
When I was younger, you know, you could get away with that kind of stuff. Mike Jakubowski and I, when we used to work, we used to go out to breakfast every morning before we'd go to work. Like some breakfast joint that would be in the neighborhood where we were working, and we'd go get breakfast, and then we'd be hardworking men, and then we'd have our lunch and, you know, and go to town. But you were working so hard, you could eat whatever you wanted. Now I would be, I'd look like Shrek.
Yeah, sure, hoop-de-doo. Now back to your Saturday morning fix of the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Chips and the dips and root beer, even hey. Though dark purple rain clouds.
7:51 in the morning, Lou Manfredini, time for our new Tulu 2. Do you have drywall in your home? Do you want to hang stuff easily and not damage anything and make it quick and easy? Then you need this new Tulu 2.
All right, who has two thumbs and can hang anything? You do. And that's all you need for this week's new Tulu 2. If
If you're one of those people that gets hangxiety anytime you have to hang photos, frames, shelves, you're going to want to tune into this. Our new to Lutu this week, High and Mighty, allows you to hang anything yourself in seconds so you can save all that stress for something worth actually stressing over. High and Mighty wall hanging hooks are designed to be stuck up.
OMG.
No hammers, forget fighting with awkward screws, anchors, and nails, and simply place and press the wall hanging hook just where you want it for instant secure installation into drywall.
What?
No tools needed.
What?
Unlike nails and screws, High and Mighty hanging hooks leave only tiny holes so you can relocate items easy without damaging the walls. They can hold 20, 40, 60 pounds to suit your project. They're designed for use with wire, D-ring, or sawtooth, making the wall hook a perfect choice for hanging pictures, photos, art, mirrors, and any type of wall decor. They are reasonably priced, easy to use, and you can find out more at designedtobestuckup.com. Lou did a little demo video we posted on his Facebook page that will also include a link right to the site. So click your little fingers on over and check it out. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Oh, you did. I said to Sam, if I didn't know if you did a shout out. You know, Sam has his podcast, Chicken Wings. What is it?
Chicken Dinner.
Hot wings?
How do you bungle this?
Barbecue hot wings?
Well, that's part of my thing. I'm just going to always bungle it so then you can correct me and people go, what is it?
Bok!
Right. Chicken dinner. I'm wearing, Lindsay bought me, which was very nice, a zip-up hoodie with the Chicken Dinner logo. It's a nice, what do we call that, blue?
A royal blue.
Royal blue, which I like royal blue.
It's a cub blue, pretty much.
It is kind of a cubby blue. Yeah, you're right. And so I'm like, oh, well, let's wear this for the video for our High and Mighty. So it's the Chicken Dinner thing. A little shout out. Did you put his website up there?
I put his Twitter handle and hashtag Sam.
You're welcome.
Hashtag Sam.
Hashtag Sam.
Sam Hanyadovich.
Hashtag Bok.
But you don't have a...
Hashtag Bok.
Oh, yeah. I should have.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Bark, bark,
yeah.
Bark.
All right, easy. You're driving people crazy.
Bark, bark.
So the
they're never going
to
listen.
And my, the new, he quit. He left. So this High and Mighty thing, this is how I'm going to describe it. I want you to picture a saber-toothed tiger from a picture of a saber-toothed tiger.
Got it.
With those saber tooths. What's that movie with the saber-toothed tiger?
Ice Age.
Yeah. And the guy who's the voiceover guy for Ford.
Ray Romano.
No, he's the elephant. It's the guy that is the voiceover guy for Ford. He goes, yeah, it raises the bar. Oh. He's the comedian. He was a comedian. Can you picture him? You know who he is? Mm. He's the voice of the saber-toothed tiger. So picture that saber-toothed tiger with those fangs. Now imagine that saber-toothed tiger's looking at you and he's mad. And he opens his mouth and he cocks his head back. And those fangs are, the bottom of those fangs are looking right at you. Now you take the head of that saber-toothed tiger and you jam it into the drywall with the tips, those two fangs. But then all you do is you take your thumb and you go, and it pops right in. And so the fangs go in. There's a flat piece of metal that rests against there. The physics of the whole thing is when you hang something on the little hook that's on the flat piece of metal, the heavier it is, the more it pushes into the wall, and they have some clips that'll hold up to 40 pounds. Now, I said this in the video. We actually shot the video at Lindsay's house, which we think your home was built in the 60s, right? Lindsay's home was built in the 60s. The drywall in older homes is denser. It's more dense. So you can't just push it in with your thumb and, you know, be like, hey, Lou said I can just push this in with my thumb. You may have to tap it in an older home with your hammer. But then we went down to your laundry room that had been renovated. And I said, I really want to show this, how it works. And how quickly did we do that? It just went.
Popped right in.
I go, are you ready? You got the camera going yet? And you actually, like, were almost startled. It was so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an interesting.
Holes are so tiny.
So tiny. So if you live in a rental property and you want to hang some stuff and then pull it off, you're just going to do a little bit of spackling and you'll be done. And the actor's name is Dennis Leary. Yeah. Who's the saber-tooth? That was the saber-tooth tiger. Tom Jenke sent that to Dennis Leary. So anyway, it is High and Mighty. It's a whole nine. And what I really like is they have a line of hooks, which are really nice. satin nickel. They have shelves and everything. It only works for drywall. If you have plaster, it's not going to work. Check out the video on my Facebook page. We'll also put it up at WGNradio.com. We'll be right back. Look
what you made me do. Hey, Lou, I wasn't paying attention, and I got super glue all over our dining room table. Look what you made
me do. Our refrigerator is always getting dirty. I get a fingerprint on it, and I get yelled at.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's usually true that when you just ignore problems, they just get better.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Look what you just made
me do. Look what you just made me do. 8:10 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, we're here with you. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Fox Home Center and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to our friends from the Northern Illinois Food Bank, helping thousands of people each year, providing meals to families in need, and in particular during the holiday season. And we're going to talk about how you can help them as well in this time of Thanksgiving. We have so much to be grateful for, but we also have an obligation to help those who need it the most. So we'll talk to them coming up after the 8:30 news this morning. But right now, let's get back to your phone calls. We have some open phone lines at 312-981-7200. This is Linda in Hickory Hills. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am terrific. How about yourself?
I'm great, too, but I have a question about my sister's remodeling her kitchen.
Okay.
And the two of us have been going around and getting, you know, estimates and layouts and whatever, and she wants a laminate countertop. Well, she has an old house with a radiator, and the countertop would be going over it, and, well, it would be above it about a foot, we're guesstimating. Would the heat affect the glue with the laminate?
Well, what does she have there now?
Nothing.
Okay, so
it's just open. But she wants to, this is the first time she's had her kitchen remodeled, so she wants as much countertop space as she can.
Oh, I see. So in other words, there's a cabinet that is adjacent to the radiator, right?
Correct.
right next to it. And then right. She would like to extend the countertop over and
right.
Then
and have like a phony front.
Like a panel or something.
Right.
Okay. And I guess we don't want to do that. Well, let me think about this. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. Here's an idea. This is a little, she's going to have someone do this work.
Yes.
And she's not changing the cabinets at all.
Oh, yeah, her room is empty.
Oh,
it's a blank slate.
So there's no cabinets.
Correct, not yet.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a neat idea. I want you to picture this with me, okay?
All
right. So she's going to put out, so imagine she's going to do her kitchen with her regular cabinets, okay?
Yep.
And then, I'm just trying to think of how this is going to look. Okay, then you're going to extend the countertop over the top of the radiator, and then she's going to put a panel on the side of the end of the countertop so that it supports the counter, okay?
Yep.
So the end will be like that. Then whomever's going to do all this work, whatever kind of countertop she has, I really would like her to not do laminate, but if she wants laminate, that's fine. They're going to take some rigid reflective insulation, and they're going to attach it to the front of the countertop, the side that you're standing on.
Okay.
And then they're going to let it, and then they're going on an angle, it's going to come back down, and just a hair above the radiator, they're going to anchor it. I don't want it touching the radiator, but it just needs to be a half an inch away. So basically, this insulation's kind of on an angle, so the heat that comes up from the radiator, from the airflow, is going to mm-hmm. hit that insulation, and it's going to force it out almost like it's a, like you're going to feel it like it's a fan because of the heat
right.
rising. Then okay. on that front panel, it's going to be, they're going to make like some type of lattice panel that has four screws that can be taken off if she had to service the radiator or turn the radiator on or off. So it wouldn't be any cabinets there. It would just be a panel.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Now, there's another way. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Somebody had suggested, like, they have cabinets that have glass in them, just to buy a cabinet like that, not buy the glass, and have that, like, holding up the countertop. But then it's kind of hard to get, but then the heat's all inside.
Right. So one of the things that I was, when I was trying to picture this, is you could put a wall cabinet with a toe kick in front, and so it would only be 12 inches deep. And but the problem is the top portion just under the counter needs to be have like a vent, because I need the heat to come out.
Right. That's
all right.
The
other thing that she could do is, and you could do this, better with a synthetic product like a quartz. If she did quartz countertops in the fabrication, they could, on the part that's over the radiator, they could cut out slits in the material right over the top of the radiator, and the heat would radiate up through those open vents. And they could be small because the material is so strong,
mm-hmm.
and it could be right there. And then she could put a wall cabinet in front of the radiator that needs to have the back open so that you can service the radiator. But then she would get more cabinet space. The heat would rise through the countertop. And with the quartz countertop, that would also get warm and help radiate heat as well. And that would be a better choice, in my opinion. Where does she live?
In Cicero.
Okay. So the people down at Fox Home Center in Alsip,
mm-hmm.
they do some really nice countertops by MSI, and they do kitchen design, too. It'd be a great place for her to go and talk to them about their kitchen design as well, since she's down, you know, in west on Cicero. It's not too far from her. They're at 11150 South Cicero.
Okay. In Alsip.
Yeah. So have them go see that. The radiator's got to be able to get air from the bottom, and the heat has to escape from the top. So however this design goes, we can't close it up.
Okay.
Capiche?
Yeah, but the quartz sounds like a real solution.
It's a real solution. The laminate is going to be, you're going to be super limited as what you can do. And since she's trying to be more creative, it gives you some more flexibility in what you're going to do to make it work. Appreciate the phone call. Happy Thanksgiving. 8:17 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Amy, what you want to do?
312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the number that Ed called in Burr Ridge. Hey, Ed, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Good.
I know you're doing great.
How can I help you, sir?
Actually, you can help my son. He's down just north of Nashville. He's got a closet in the basement that extends under the front porch. I would assume they did it as a wine cellar.
Right.
And a couple days ago, he's told me he's had a high humidity problem in this closet. A couple days ago, it was 30 degrees outside, and there was condensate drops on the ceiling. Now, the ceiling in this case is actually the slab for the front porch. It's like a 6x6 concrete slab that was poured over some corrugated steel supported by some steel bars or something like that. So he's noticed a higher humidity level in the closet before, and he's had a little bit of a mold problem.
What does he use that closet for?
It's just general storage. It's not for wine or anything
mm-hmm.
at this point. But, and he's noticed a little bit of musty smell in there is what he's had. So he's got a little bit of a humidity problem. I told him I'll leave the door open for now. And anything beyond putting vents in the door or in the wall or, you know, whatever.
Tell me about the rest of the basement.
Well, it's a walkout basement. That portion of the basement happens to be finished. It's carpeted. He's got a couple of good-sized dogs down there, so they're breathing and creating humidity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's got a humidifier down there.
A dehumidifier, yeah.
Or for the wintertime, a humidifier.
Let me ask you this. So that closet that's underneath the stairs, you've been to the house, right?
Yes.
So when I'm in the closet, the what would be the walls above the foundation? Is it brick or is it concrete?
It's a brick house, but I don't recall whether it's a whether the basement walls are concrete or block.
Yeah,
that I do not recall.
So here's.
I think it's, and now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure it's concrete block.
Concrete block. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I would do. On the side, on one of those blocks, okay, you can buy a foundation fan that fits in the size of one of those blocks.
Okay.
So you're going to take one of those blocks out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to make sure that it's supported, but it should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put a fan in there. Brone actually makes one of these, okay? It's like a vent, but it's a fan.
Okay.
And he's going to put it on a humidistat.
Okay.
And he's going to put it right in down, and then when the humidity level gets above a certain level, the fan's going to kick on. It's going to suck all that moisture out of that closet that's closed up, okay, and pump it out of there. Now, the other thing that he should
do... he's going to blow it into the basement itself.
No, outside.
Okay, blow outside.
Right, so that wall that's on the side of it, you know, that's under the stairs or whatever, he's going to take one block out and fit a fan in there. And he's going to need some electricity, but he's probably going to pull chain light or something in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the concrete step.
That makes enough visits to.
the concrete or the slab and everything, is it just regular concrete?
It's regular concrete, and actually, it's on the surface wise, it's exposed aggregate, and I wanted to talk about that too.
Okay. So then, if it's exposed aggregate, there is a concrete sealer that you're. Are you going to drive down and see him soon?
Probably February for sure.
Okay. Well, you're going to buy a gallon of Bone Dry Products concrete sealer. Okay. And you hope you love your son because it's like $70 a gallon. But it's the best sealer out there. And you're going to clean that, clean the surface. February in Nashville, I mean, as long as it's over freezing, you could do this. So you're going to clean it. You're going to follow the instructions on there. You're going to use a pump sprayer, and you're going to apply it. It's going to go down into that aggregate and into the concrete about a good inch, and it's going to create a waterproof surface.
Okay.
It's not going to be slippery, and it's going to help the inclusion of the moisture that's coming into that space. But the real trick here, Ed, is the fan pulling all that moisture out of there. And the thing is, does he have kids?
That's why we're going. 2-year-old.
Nice.
2 in February.
We don't want them breathing that air out of that closet.
No.
And then as far as if he's got a mildew and mold spread, that fogue mold that I talked about, bring that down. Bring a couple cans of that down there. Spray it all down there and let that kill everything. Do the fan. Do the Bone Dry. You're good to go. Happy Thanksgiving. 8:28 in the morning. We'll be right back.
That's right, Chicago. We've all got our issues.
I've been getting this constant leak in my basement every time it rains.
And if yours are about the home, you're going to want to call Lou.
My toilet keeps spitting back up at me when flushing, and it's really gross.
That's Lou Manfredini, taking your calls live till 10 right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 8:38 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, though, joining me in the studio is Julie Yurko. She is the CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. We're going to talk a little bit about who they are, what they do, and why we should all be helping them. Julie, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Oh, what did I do here? How about that one? How about this one? Try that again.
Good morning, Lou.
There you go. That's all these things are mismarked over here. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming in this morning. You are the CEO. You look too young to be a CEO. Did you get the job when you were 14?
Sure did. Thank you so much.
You said you've been there 8 years.
I have.
Explain to our audience who the Northern Illinois Food Bank is.
We are a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to provide nutritious meals to our hungry neighbors. We do that in all of the suburbs of Chicago, and then we go out into the rural areas of Illinois. Every week, we're providing meals to 71,500 people.
Wow.
Last year, it totaled 65.5 million meals we distributed.
You're not a religiously affiliated organization.
We are not, but many of the organizations with whom we work, so our food pantries, our soup kitchens, our shelters, are faith-based.
Right.
And we certainly know that this is important work for lots of reasons.
But you're kind of the foundation for those groups to be able to provide this food?
We are. Think of us as a food distributor.
Okay.
So we will source food. We'll bring that food in from retail stores, from manufacturers. We'll make sure that food is safe, that it's presentable, and we will get that out to this network of 800 feeding sites across our 13 counties.
When you say you bring in this food, is it your distributor in the sense of this isn't like expired food or stuff that like, oh, I couldn't finish my mashed potatoes and I'm going to give it to you guys, right? It's not that.
No, sir. No, sir. It is typically food that's not going to be sold.
Okay.
So it could be something the manufacturer, perhaps there's a little too much humidity in some granola cereal, and so they can't send it to market, so they'll give it to us. Or when you're in the Jewel and maybe you don't want that apple that has that bruise on it,
right,
you won't purchase that,
right,
they'll put that aside and we'll come and take that and we'll get that out to our neighbors in need. Most of what we distribute is given to us and we're super grateful for that.
Wow. So what do you have, like trucks running around like crazy picking this stuff up? And then you have, I would imagine, inspectors, right, who are,
yep,
right, they gather all this stuff, but they're like, no, I mean, like you said, your goal is to make sure that the food is safe and the quality is high.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm sure that there's some stuff that just gets rejected.
Sure. Every day I've got at least 24 trucks on the road.
Wow.
Going out and picking up that food that's being given to us and then also distributing it out to our feeding sites. Sometimes it's an after-school program where we're feeding kids, or to our senior mart out in Rockford where our seniors need some good food. So I've got these trucks that are out there bringing it in, taking it out, and then when it comes to one of our three warehouses, soon to be four, that's where it will be sorted and we'll make sure that it's safe and good food and hopefully very nutritious for our neighbors as well.
How many years has the Northern Illinois Food Bank been around?
We'll be 35 years old next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
7 days a week.
Six. We take Sundays off.
You do.
But
the thing is, it's got to be a long day. How many people work with the Northern Illinois Food Bank?
Sure. So our team is about 123 people,
mm-hmm,
right now. But thanks to the generosity of folks, we have volunteers who last year gave us over 136,000 hours of time, which adds about another 60 people to our staff.
Where are these distribution centers that you run?
Sure. We have our largest facility is out in Geneva in the western suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
We have a facility in Rockford. We're in Park City, which is right by Great America.
Oh, yeah.
And in February, March, we're opening another warehouse down in Joliet.
So the thing is, as exciting and as wonderful as the work is that you do, it would really be great if we didn't need you, right?
It really would be great.
Or like, this would be something you wish you didn't have this job, in the sense that the need is out there. But I think that we take for granted how many people, without your assistance for the past 35 years and the mm-hmm. assistance of all these volunteers and your employees that do such mm-hmm. great work, as well as the people that help fund you, people would literally, in the richest country in the world, would
yes.
go hungry.
Yes. Sadly, it is true that hunger is here. It's right in our suburbs. It's out in our rural areas. And it's very real for these families. We know that 77% of the families we serve are working families. They just typically aren't working year-round, full-time jobs, and so they have a resource gap. Every month they need a certain amount of food, and they don't have enough money to get that food. So thankfully, we have these wonderful food pantries, and we have these after-school feeding programs so that we can help fill the gap. We can help feel like I have to make sure that they have what they need. And it's our privilege. We are blessed to be able to do this work.
What would you say? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. And I think that, you know, people listen to this. And obviously, I know around the holidays, you know, people mm-hmm. grab you. Oh, come on, Julie, let's talk about this. And we want to, you know, and it's important to talk about it now.
Yeah.
But people are hungry in July, too. What is the biggest misconception that people don't get about the food need in our area? Like, what is it that they just don't get it? Like, that they don't, you know, because these are their neighbors,
mm-hmm. yes.
right?
Yes. I don't think people understand that it is truly in every community. We have a very robust strategic plan where we are looking at the 830 communities that we serve. And we know it doesn't matter if you are in Highland Park or if you are in an area that would be considered, you know, a lower income area.
Mm-hmm.
There is need in every one of those areas. And what tends to happen is if you are in a higher wealth area, you tend to have fewer resources available, right? There's not necessarily a food pantry there. So it's actually those folks that tend to suffer as much as our folks that are suffering in our lower income areas. It is everywhere. And people can help make a difference.
Right.
That's what I'd love to share with your listeners.
Right, right, right. I think it's important.
There's a way they can get engaged.
Right. So, I mean, it's important to say to for people to know that there's a need. But at the same time, your job is to keep everyone positive to say, look, it isn't about we're trying to make a difference. You guys at the Northern Illinois Food Bank are making a difference and have been for 35 years.
Yes.
Now, I would imagine that you've got great help from a lot of big corporate sponsors, right, who come, you know, pun intended, come to the table every day to help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what, you know, no matter how a listener might want to engage, they can certainly, well, they should go to solvehungertoday.org.
That's your website.
That's our website, solvehungertoday.org. There's a volunteer button. You can click on that button. When I really need you is January and February. Right now, you know, the more the merrier. We've got lots of people coming in through the holidays.
Right.
But come January, February, we need more volunteers to come and help sort and repack that food. And we've got all these wonderful locations. Come and, you know, give us a couple hours every time. I promise you, you will walk away so filled up because of it. If you're willing to make a financial investment, even better. Every dollar that's given to us, we can distribute $8 worth of groceries. From now to the end of the year, we have a wonderful challenge grant.
Okay.
It'll be someone's going to match that. We've got the Epsilon Corporation and the Triola family. They're going to match that. So every dollar you give me, I can get $16 worth of groceries out.
What's the max goal or what's the max match?
$200,000.
Wow.
$200,000. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. On Giving Tuesday, on the 28th of November, it'll be tripled.
That's
so
awesome.
So if someone chooses, for example, we're sending out all these holiday mailboxes, 30,000. Holiday mailboxes, a turkey, a 14-pound turkey, and all the fixings for a family of eight for both Thanksgiving and the winter holidays. If someone gives $30, I can get one of those boxes out. If you do that on Giving Tuesday, I can get three boxes out for $30.
What
three families.
Across the country, I mean, are there organizations like the Northern Illinois Food Bank all across the country? Like, do you guys all sort of talk about best practice? Like, is there somebody like you in New York and in Los Angeles and Texas and Tampa?
Yes, there are 200 food banks across the country. We are all members of Feeding America. That's our national organization. They're actually headquartered right here in Chicago.
Oh, really? Okay.
Combined, we distributed 4.2 billion meals last year. So no matter where you are, there's a wonderful food bank doing very similar work to what we're doing.
Do you get any financial support from the state or federal government?
We do get some support from the federal government for the after-school feeding programs that we do and for some of the food purchasing we do. We do not receive state funding.
Well, it's probably a good thing because you wouldn't get paid anyway. you don't have to say that. Those are my words.
No,
what about, you know, one of the things that I know that people are focused on, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but, you know, there's some website that I hear all about, like for charitable organizations where, you know, they rate the organizations. What's it called?
Charity Navigator.
Yeah, Charity Navigator, right, where they say, you know, because people are like, oh, they spend too much money on their administration, and, you know, I'm giving them $10 and only a dollar goes to what they're doing. Where do you guys lie in that Charity Navigator? And the thing is, too, with a lot of those Navigator things, you know, there's a method to that madness and how stuff gets rated. So I don't know a ton about it, but I have family members and friends who are like, oh, they're terrible on that Navigator site or whatever. And so,
sure. So Charity Navigator, they do rate thousands and thousands of charities across the country, and they're looking at how fiscally responsible are you and how well are you meeting your mission and growing to meet the mission. We are a 4-star Charity Navigator organization, which is the highest rating you can get. We've had that for 14 years in a row, which puts us in the top 1%.
They should make it 5-star. Don't you think the highest rating should be 5? I mean,
we can write them a letter.
Right. It's sort of like Spinal Tap, right? Like mine goes to 11. I mean, doesn't 5-star sound better than 4?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Five is like, sure. It's one hand. Like, we're a five start.
You're right.
Like,
that
if I put
fun.
The four up, like, it's what am I doing same. With that thumb? It's
I
not
know.
The same. So,
it's not the same. But
write
I'm
them
happy.
A letter.
I'm
I know. You're happy with the four. And I get it. It's the highest yeah. thing. But that's important because
yes.
that means you and your staff and the administration side mm-hmm. are saying, look, obviously everybody needs to get paid. This is your job. Mm-hmm. But we also don't want to be like, oh, let's go to a conference at the Atlantis in Bahamas and do whatever. You know what I mean? That yeah. kind of stuff. So
no,
that's good to know.
No.
Okay. So I'm a corporation and I want to give you lots of money and I want to support you. How do I get a hold of you guys?
You can give us a call at 630-443-6910. Or you can always go to solvehungertoday.org. We welcome everyone.
Wait. That's what I'm doing. Now I'm a corporation. That's the website and the phone number I'm going to call.
Yeah.
Now I'm an individual and I want to help you out and I want to volunteer. Where do I go?
Same thing, solvehungertoday.org.
And what's that phone number again?
630-443-6910.
Wait, I didn't get the number. One more time.
630-443-6910.
Julie Yurko is the CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. They are going to celebrate their 35th anniversary, feeding millions of people in their history. 65.5 million meals
yes.
in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about the people that would go hungry without your help is a staggering thought. As you're preparing for your holiday meal and you're putting your list together to go to the Jewel or go to the Costco or go to Mariano's or go to Whole Foods, whatever it may be, set aside $30. And for $30, you can help somebody have a wonderful Thanksgiving and you can make that donation on your website.
Yes, sir.
What was that website again?
SolveHungerToday.org. And if you need help, if one of your listeners needs mm-hmm. help, please go to that website. There is a Get Help button, and we would love to help them as well.
Love that. Julie, thank you for coming in. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
All continued success, and I just want your organization to be out of business for the right reasons.
Thank you so much. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
8:51 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Now back to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981 is our phone number. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we remodeled the bathroom. Not totally finished yet, but put in a new shower head and a new spigot. The water pressure is great coming out of the spigot, the actual, you know, but
the spout. You mean
out,
the spout?
Right, the spout, exactly. But it's not coming out of the shower head. It like just dribbles down.
Who did this work?
Well, a plumber did it. He's coming back today. He's saying we might have to open up the wall. And my husband
Wait,
just...
So we didn't replace any of the piping?
Did you replace piping in there? Yeah, he did.
Okay. And did the plumber do all this work?
Yes.
And he didn't test the shower head before?
It's all new.
Okay. All right. And so you haven't used the shower yet?
No, we have not.
Okay. Well, number...
He came over the other day and rotted it.
Rotted the line?
Correct. Oh, no, he didn't. I'm sorry, he didn't. Go ahead. You give me your advice. I'm saying the wrong thing, I guess.
Okay. We got to take the shower head off first.
Okay.
Once we take the shower head off, you're gonna wait for the plumber to do this, right? Because you paid for this to be done.
Correct.
So once we take that shower head off and we pop that ring, it should be a nice, steady stream of water. Have you ever been to Navy Pier?
Yes.
You know the Crystal Gardens when the water kind of arches up and spits over in the Crystal Gardens?
Uh-huh.
It
yes.
should be like that.
Okay.
Okay, if you got that kind of volume of water, then it could be that the shower head's clogged.
It's a brand new shower head.
I understand, but there could be like a little washer in there that never came off or something that needs to be cleaned out. And so if you don't have the water pressure coming out there, then there's something clogged in that pipe. But if the pipe's brand new,
there should be nothing in it then.
Correct. What is, before we open up a wall, I'm sure it's a nice tile wall, right?
Yes.
All right. What's on the, if I'm standing in the shower looking at the shower valve and the shower head, what's on the back side of that wall?
The kitchen. Oh, our kitchen.
Great. Well, that, yeah. That doesn't help me, Kathy.
I know.
All right. Well, he might be able to do some work by taking, is it a single valve faucet?
Yes.
All right. So he might be able to take off the excussion and the hole around the valve and do some work there. But, I mean, it should be able to be repaired. It should be able to be repaired and without opening up the walls.
Okay.
But the first thing he's going to do is take the shower head off and make sure that we have a steady stream water to come out there. Thanks for the phone call and happy Thanksgiving. I'm just bumping up against time. We'll get to news right after this. Welcome back. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Lightkeeper Pro and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Last night, I was at the Misericordia Heart of Mercy Ball, and which took place at the Hilton Chicago. And I was the auctioneer last night. I had a chance to work with Phil Ponce, raised a lot of money. It was a really nice crowd. But Miguel Cervantes, who has found out about Misericordia. He plays the lead role in the musical here in Chicago, Hamilton, was in attendance last night and sang a few songs and entertained the audience and was just super animated and super happy to be there. He was there with his lovely wife and just was so gracious and wonderful to spend time with all of us at the Heart of Mercy Ball. And it was just a really lovely evening. The one problem I had last night with the whole night was my wife was in this fantastic dress. And I got to be honest with you, I couldn't take my eyes off her all night.
That's not a bad thing.
I know. It was so nice. She looked like $1 million. So we had a great time last night, and I got to meet Miguel, who is he's a little guy. I'm holding my hands up like this. He's not a tall man. But he was fantastic and just so wonderful. And did a really nice job. So here is a little gear switching. Joining me in the studio right now is Eric Peterson. You know Eric Peterson, right? He's a local kid. That's he right. did well. Last week?
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday. I see this Instagram post by my lovely talented producer, Lindsay, standing in front of this sign for Escape to Margaritaville with her father, and they went to go see this show. She goes, I don't know what I'm going to go see this show. I mean, my dad loves Jimmy Buffett, and she literally calls me and goes, oh, my gosh, I saw this amazing show. It was so good. I was blown away. Right?
I was, and I still am. I am, like, beaming for the show.
And there's this guy. There's this guy. He's a local guy. He plays Nick the bartender.
Brick.
I'm thinking of It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right.
We serve hot drinks for kids who want to get drunk fast. And so Eric plays Brick the bartender. You guys are taking place in this miracle, the Magnificent Mile Parade, the whole cast.
Yes, we are.
In the rain, which will be awesome.
It's going to be.
It's going to stop raining.
It's really on brand,
right?
I find, you know, to be just in cold rain.
You grew up where?
I grew up in Carroll Stream.
Carroll Stream.
West suburbs.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And and the pride and joy of Carroll Stream High School?
Glenbard North High
School. Glenbard North High School.
Yeah.
Were you involved in theater in high school?
I started doing theater in high school. Had not done it before that. And then once I found that I had a little bit of ability in it, went to Bradley University in Peoria.
Okay.
Studied theater and then moved off to New York and then...
I'm picking your brain because I have four children,
sure.
And I have my youngest. Well, my second oldest wants to be a television writer.
Okay.
That's a really good, there's a lot of openings in that.
Sure.
But my youngest, who's involved in theater and high school stuff now, he's like, oh, I want to be an actor. I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
And I am fortunate enough to, and my wife and I are huge supporters of live theater.
Great.
In my opinion, it's where the true talent lies because there's no second take.
Yes.
Right? It's every night's a performance.
Absolutely.
And you got to bring it and you got to do it.
You have to be
it
a real
isn't
professional.
Like, right, the director doesn't say, oh, Eric, hold on. You know what? The lighting was wrong or you looked the wrong way or whatever. And so to me, to see performances like that, and I am fortunate enough that I travel to New York a couple times a month, and sure. I get to see a lot of plays on Broadway that I enjoy.
They always say that theater is more an actor's medium, that TV is a writer's medium, and film is a director's medium. And those are really the driving forces in all three of those things. Because in live theater, the actors, once the directors and writers have created it, the actors really have a sense of ownership because they are the ones that are could stop in the middle if they needed to, if an actor wanted to stop a show in the middle, they could. They have that power. They don't, but they could. you know, a writer on TV is really driving where storylines are going, and then in film, it really is directors.
You've got a bunch of you got a bunch of things on your resume here. Looking through on Broadway, you played Dewey on School of Rock.
School of Rock, just finished that. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. The musical Shrek, you played.
I played Shrek. I was the standby for Shrek on Broadway, but then I opened the national tour of Shrek 7 years ago here in Chicago, and
that's
then did
so
that
cool.
for a year, or for a year on tour.
Elf the Musical, you played Buddy. You've done a bunch of television as well, and you've got some movies coming up, and you're a kid from Bradley University.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing that these smaller schools have these thriving theater programs. And I bet as you meet people, a lot of them went to these smaller schools who are working actors and singers and dancers.
Yeah. You know, I found, you know, when I was looking at schools when I was in high school and then also in retrospect, at some of the bigger schools, you know, the NYU, the CCM, Michigan, these big, you know, powerhouses, they produce amazing talent, and there's a reason that they are super successful. The thing that I loved about Bradley, and a lot of actors will say that went to smaller schools, is I had so much personal attention, and I was in every show from freshman year to senior year.
Right.
At some of the bigger schools, you might only get to be in two or three shows in your whole college career. So I found it really, really beneficial for me to be able to, like, be on stage and making mistakes and having a safe place to kind of learn.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about this show you're in right now.
It's amazing. So it's called Escape to Margaritaville. It's Jimmy Buffett music. So, and it's an original story using already existing Jimmy Buffett songs. So it's not the story of Jimmy Buffett. It's an original boy meets girl love story. And then it uses all of the Jimmy Buffett hits that you know and love, like Volcano and Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise, Fins, all these great songs. And it's just a super, super fun show. I think that in like today's world, it's great to have 2.5 hours to just relax and laugh and dance and sing. And it really, I think, is topical in the best kind of way without being, it's not dealing with any issues. It's just a good
You and I never met.
It's exactly
what she said to me.
We live in this world where everything is so heavy and you just turn on the news and you want to cry. And this, I left this show with such a smile on my face. I knew all the words. I knew all the songs. I was humming them. I wanted a margarita after I left.
I've had multiple people tell me that they want to plan vacations after
I did too. It was just such a fun, fun show. Eric, I know you're promoting it, but let me, as a viewer who saw this show, I mean, go see it, whether you like Jimmy Buffett or not. If you love Jimmy Buffett like I do and my dad does, it is. You're really, really going to love it. And how you piece all the songs together, Grapefruit, Juicy Fruit, I was rolling on the floor. This is Eric's, like,
that's one of my big songs.
His big number that is. I'm like, how do you tie this song, Grapefruit Juicy, into this show? Yeah. It is genius. It is so good.
Are you, side note, are you married guy, single guy?
I'm married with two kids.
And is it fun to be able to do what you love doing in your hometown?
It's the best feeling in the world. It is. I've had a smile ear to ear since we landed. It's being around, not only seeing my family and having, you know, my wife and kids are in town this week and like bringing them to Portillo's and just like, you know, just like giving them how I grew up. But it's a real sense. And this is, you know, I'm very, very proud to be from Chicago. And I noticed something that just kind of anytime I'm back in the city, in New York City, which I love, it's a great city.
Is that where you live now?
That's where I live now. People walk around with, I know we're on radio, so I'll describe it. People walk around with just a sense of, not a frowny face, but people are
a purpose.
Focused and purposeful. Right. And just like, and I've noticed since I've been back in the city, a thing that I love is that when you're walking down Michigan Avenue, people just have a little grin on their face. Right. They're just happy to be alive. Yeah. And I just love the people from the Midwest. It feels so wonderful to be home, and it feels like home for me. So
that's
I'm just so happy
that's
to
so
be
cool.
here.
That's so cool. I'm really happy for you. Lindsay honestly could not say enough about this show. I assume the tickets, BroadwayInChicago.com is where you can go to find tickets.
Absolutely.
The show runs until when?
December 2nd at the Oriental Theater.
Right. So it's going fast.
And then what?
And then we go to Broadway.
Awesome.
So this is our last stop. We did like a 3-city mini tour. This is our last stop. And then we start rehearsals in January for an opening on Broadway in March.
Do you know what theater you're going to be in?
We're at the Marriott Marquis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
good.
You'll get every tourist in the world
Absolutely.
Right there at the Marriott Marquis.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Oh,
it's
good for
great.
You.
And I have to tell you, you were just talking about Miguel Cervantes.
Yeah.
Miguel is my best friend.
You're kidding.
In the whole world. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was... He was a delight to meet, and you know,
yes.
he was so – it's funny, when the event started, mm-hmm. I knew he was there.
Sure.
It was a kind of a surprise to everyone that he was coming and he was sharing
yeah.
his time. I mean, he took the night off
yeah.
to be at this event.
Yeah.
The PR people are going, yeah, he took the night off, man. no, but he took the night off to be at this event with his wife, he was sort of under the radar at first. Like,
sure.
you know, there's a lot of people. Everybody's sure. wearing a tuxedo, and you're not quite sure. And I said to my wife, that's Miguel Cervantes.
Yeah.
You know, and so I got a chance to chat with him a little bit. He's a delightful
yeah.
Man.
And doing a lot of really good stuff with my shot at epilepsy for
yeah.
his daughter.
Yeah, so, and Misericordia,
cool.
You're from this area, so you
yeah.
know the organization. And he was so wonderful with his time and just so gracious to everyone who wanted to take a picture with him. And he performed a song with the Heartbreakers, which is the Misericordia choir.
Cool.
And it was great. It
yeah.
was really special.
That's
so
awesome.
It was great. Continued success to you.
Thank you, Lou.
Congratulations. The show is Escape to Margaritaville. It runs until December
2nd.
2nd. So you can see it in its glory here in Chicago before it goes to New York. I promise you the tickets will cost more in New York.
This
I promise. And you're going to see high-quality shows right here in Chicago. The theater scene, what's great about Chicago is this whole idea where a lot of these shows come here to test first
yeah.
is really spectacular.
It is. When I was a kid, I saw The Producers here in Chicago before it ever went to Broadway.
Yeah.
And I remember then seeing on Broadway it explode into all
yeah.
its success. And I
yeah.
felt really cool, like, wow, I got to see that. Before everybody else.
Well, if it works out well, hopefully my youngest son, Massimo, someday will be a kid on Broadway working with you.
Absolutely.
All right? Thanks so much for
Thanks,
joining
man.
Us today. I appreciate that. We'll put all the information up on our webpage as well as our Facebook page as well. You're listening to the Mr. Fiction. I need another cup of coffee. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. 9:27 in the morning, 312-981-7200. Larry's calling in from Algonquin. Larry, thanks for hanging on. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Lou, how are you, sir?
Terrific.
Good. I have a question for you. I've got about it's a 23-year-old, typical suburban-built tract home, and I've noticed on a lot of the windows now, there's kind of like a cloudy film that's in between the panes of glass. So it's not on the inside, it's not on the outside, it's like in between the double panes.
Right.
Is there any way to clean that, or do I basically have to
How old are these windows?
Like 23 years old, yeah. And they're builder grade windows.
So, okay. Now there's a few companies out there that can take the cloudiness out of the windows.
Okay.
But it's going to cost you about $100 a window.
All right.
So, you know, okay, yeah, it clears up the windows. You can see it. It doesn't really help the energy efficiency of the window. It doesn't make them go up and down any better, but it just clears up the windows. So you got 22,
right.
You know, now you're talking about spending, you know, $2,500 for the sake of arguments.
Sure.
If that's to buy you some time, what's the overall plan, Larry, with the house?
I'm probably going to be moving. I'm hopefully in like 2 to 3 years out of state.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, you could spend the $2,500 and clear it up. There's no there's no guarantee that it lasts 2 to 3 years.
Right.
So when you go to sell that house, they're going to say, hey, I like your house here in Algonquin, but, you know, your windows are 25 years old.
Right. Better just replace them.
If it were me and you can do it in your budget,
yeah.
Call my friends over at Gilkey, okay, get an estimate from them. Their vinyl windows are very good, and you'll get a really good price on it, and they can come out and do a really nice job for you.
Okay, cool.
All right, bud?
Okay, thank you much, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll be right back.
Time now for our Binnie's Holiday Taste Test.
We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast.
Tis the season to be merry.
Well, that's my name.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I never saw Sam come into the studio as quickly as now. Domati's like running. I saw him get up. His like chair fell over when he got up to come get the wine. Right when he got up through the camera, like, Domati, you got to pick up that chair. All right. Are you coming in to join us? Oh, I see. Right. So this is, we did this last year. Whose idea was this last year? Mine. Yeah, it was my idea. Don't look at Domati. Domati, you love working with us on Saturday mornings.
We're like baby calves.
Yeah, right, right, right. We're going to bring you in. It's like veal. Yeah. So I said you were walking in. I don't know if you heard. You got up so fast. Your chair tipped over. You worked in here so fast.
Yeah, I was going to pick it back up, but it wasn't important. Got to focus on the important stuff.
So the thing is, what Binnie's did, they gave us five. So the whole idea is that you're entertaining at your home. Thanksgiving is coming. And we are going to, they brought us five wines, but five wines is a little too much to, it's a little bit too much time. So we're going to taste three of the wines, and I'm going to describe to you what these are. And this is, Lindsay, I know you're pouring, but these wines, they're singling out because they are, they have some specials going on them as well. They're great for Thanksgiving, and so these are wines that you can do. So one is the champagne. Now, we, around the holidays, we always, at Christmas Eve at our house, do a champagne toast. And this, you know, you can buy some really cheap champagne, but this particular one is a Mum Napa from Napa Valley. Since the 70s, Mum Napa has been following traditional techniques and French heritage to create lovely, sparkling wines that over-deliver for the price. A blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. This wine is explosively aromatic, ripe stone fruit, apple aromas intermingled with hints of honey and spice, and the wine is as a creamy mousse with a lively acidity will pair with virtually everything on the table. I think there's like a Binnie's blog or a podcast that they do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there is one, yeah.
They should just cancel that because we're doing it right here. All right, so that's the Napa Valley champagne that we're not going to taste. The other thing that today we're not going to taste, but I want to tell you about, is the Le Pierre Morgan from 2016. It's only $29.99. It's meticulously organic winemaking from old vines with grapes from some of the best vineyards in Bouillabaisse. Morgan is a more serious and structured expression of Bordelais with deep aromas of red fruit and herbs. The wine would benefit from a bit of decanting before showing it off. All right.
Did you say Bordelais?
Yeah.
Yeah. You changed it up.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to say it.
Neither am I.
I don't speak of the Frenchie.
He said it so confidently.
The first time. Was, yeah. By the way, Lindsay looked like an octopus filling all these glasses at once.
I don't even
know. I don't know how you did that. He's like, ooh.
She's really got kind of long, gangly arms. So she can like. You would have been great. You would have been great in the for setting foundation walls.
Oh,
I've been told that before. Because long arms are helpful for that.
It's not the first time.
All right, so the wine we're going to try now first, all three of you, is the Pinot Noir, the Guide Pinot Noir.
Everyone get rid of your gum.
2015 vintage. It's only $16.99 a bottle. It is an exceptional vintage in the Willamette Valley. A Pinot Noir.
Willamette
Valley. A Pinot, oh, you live in Wilmette. A Pinot Noir under $20 for this quality is hard to find. On the nose, so go ahead and on the nose, you should get loads of wild orchard fruit.
Cherries.
And red cherry aromas with a vibrant, plush mouth feel.
Very cherry. You're right. Did you have that in front of you?
Yeah.
It's very
cherry.
Well,
I have this. I don't.
Go ahead and take a little
sip.
You
didn't look at the description?
Oh,
that
no.
Is all cherry.
No, there's too many words on here.
I'm reading that. You just drink. Do you taste is it a mouthful that's plush?
Try and guess who that was if you're in your car right now. It was not I.
I don't think they want you to drink it out of a straw.
That's That's how you get the aromas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's let me tell you, you're bringing sexy back with that. I got news for you. Did you like it?
Yeah. I do like it.
Do you like a Pinot Noir?
Not usually.
Yeah, but you like it?
I do. Pinot Noir.
You're a wine drinker, right? You like wine.
Well, I don't know if I'm as sophisticated as these descriptions.
No, but you like wine.
But I love wine.
You love wine.
I love Pinot Noir.
And you like that? You like that taste?
Very good.
What about you?
Surprising, that's only $16.99.
Yeah,
I'm not really a red wine drinker, as you know. But actually, this is
you like that?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very
all right. Good. The next one you're going to try is the Bella de Provence Rosé 2016. Only $14.99 a bottle. It's a rose all day. It doesn't rhyme for nothing. If you're looking for one wine for Thanksgiving, this crisp, light, and refreshing rosé will do the trick. Aromas of white flowers, melon, and cherry.
I love this one.
Yeah?
I don't smell white flowers.
No?
Oh, really? I feel like I do.
Melon and cherry.
What?
And when you taste it, you have a lively acidity.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I know what white flowers smell like. I think that's what it is.
You know that you know the cleaner that Spick and Span? Mm-hmm. You know Spick and Span,
oh,
the
yeah,
cleaner?
Yeah, yeah, the cleaner.
They
yeah.
make a liquid one that you can spray on. It's already pre-mixed, and it says smells like sunshine. I don't know what sunshine smells like. What does sunshine smell like? I don't know what that smells like either.
So this is rosé, is what you're saying.
This is a rosé. My wife likes a rosé in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Has she had frosé? You know what frosé is?
No.
Like a
it's
slushy?
Frozen rosé. That's what all the kids were drinking.
Is that right? No.
All the kids.
We haven't done that.
This tastes like sunshine.
You like
it? Does taste like flowers.
Go bring it home to your lady.
I like that. All right. And finally, all you wine tasters, Muga Rioja Blanco. Muga Rioja Blanco, 2016, $14.99 a bottle. When you think of the Roja red wine, usually comes to mind. Muga Blanco is a lovely example of the lighter side of the Rioja green apple
That's
and citrus
is.
Aromas
green
to
apple.
The nose. The palate has a silky texture and lovely minerality featuring flavors of tropical fruit and a touch of vanilla. Mm. Anything?
I love this one.
This is my favorite one.
Really?
And I don't really like white wine. This is my favorite one.
This is
too.
Very good.
I
you like that.
I like this a lot. This All is right. very good.
Okay. So you know the thing that we have to do? Are we posting these?
So all of these wines that we are speaking of today are on binnies.com. We'll post a link on your Facebook page that links you to Binnies, but all these descriptions, all these wines, prices will be up each week on binnies.com.
Okay, so starting next week, what we're going to do is, and we're going to have these guys and you taste all three of the wines. We're going to do three a week. Then whatever your favorite is, like this is Sam's favorite, this is Domity's favorite, this is Lindsay's favorite. Then when people are looking for wine, they give Thanksgiving, they're like, what are you serving? Oh my gosh, this is what Domity loves. Right on the table.
There it is.
Right. Do they have Carlo Rossi by the gallon? Because I love that.
That's one with like the two little...
I don't like talking about it, but I like drinking it. That's what we want, big gallon.
What do you call that, though, on the side of the bottle? It's like two little glass hoops.
With a little handle?
It's a handle.
Yeah, but it's
not a jug handle.
Yeah, but it's a special handle. It's not like an average handle.
Well, I don't know how you say that in Italian, but it's a jug handle.
Jug handle, okay.
Thought it was something classy. Nothing classy.
I thought it was something classy, yeah. Well,
thank you, all three of you, for participating in our first... Binnie's Wine Tasting for 2017.
Love it.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Good morning. Let's return now to the Mr. Fix-It Show with our guy, Lou Manfredini. You are listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You belong among the wildflowers.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dan called in. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Tomorrow. Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
I'm sure you misspoke about Lindsay. She was probably worth $10 million, but $100 million is good. I got a shower issue.
Okay.
I've been battling this problem for a little bit, and I've narrowed it down. I've got a plug that I put in the drain, and the shower is about four or five years old right now, so it's relatively new. And I'm getting a slow drip down in the basement there, and we want to put some, we want to finish it down there and really want to try and take care of this problem. But I've narrowed it down to when I fill up, there's a pan, it's a custom shower, so it's got the cement pan, it's got the rubber membrane down there, and... Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, it obviously got punctured, and now I'm just trying to figure out where it is. So when I leave the water in about 2 inches in the pan, and I leave it sit for about an hour, then the drip will come through where the floorboards meet in the basement, and I got the small drip. So what I did was is I kind of caulked all around there, and I got the whole all the corners of the shower caulked now, and I believe now I've got the leak under control. And it wasn't dripping, and I filled it last night, and I'm on my way home now to see if it's leaking at all. But if I got no leaks, then what my plan was is start tearing off some of that caulk and, you know, little sections at a time. That way I can identify exactly where that leak is. But my question to you, Lou, is when I do that, what would be the best material to put in the grout or under the grout or whatnot to, like, totally cure this problem forever? Or is it best just to rip the whole floor off and start over? Or what would your recommendation be?
When you said you caulked everything, tell me the tile you have on the floor, what's the size of the tile?
They're like a mosaic tile.
It's a mosaic, so it's very small tile. And you just caulked around the drain and where the tile floor meets the wall?
Yeah, just around the just where the wall meets the floor is where it's caulked right now.
Oh, just
and
where
I
the
just
where
on.
Oh, just where the wall meets the floor.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then you put a test plug in there and you filled it up.
Yeah, about 2 inches.
So that the water is above that caulk joint.
That's correct.
Okay. I think that I'm surprised you would get a lot of dripping. Normally, when you get a pan like that, the first place it's going to drip is around the drain itself. But if you're saying that you're filling it up and you did not caulk around the drain at all?
Yeah, so what I did first was I brought it up to before it hit the wall.
Right.
And I got no leak.
No leak
so
whatsoever.
So now I've got it. Yeah, so now I've got it, you know, a couple inches on the wall. And that's when I was getting the leak, drained it, and then caulked all the corners. And like I said, it appears as if it's coming from a nail, right where the floorboards meet was where a nail head is.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the nail head just penetrated the rubber and
could have, yeah.
Hole in it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So on a tile floor like that, really between the wall and the floor, that should be caulked anyway. And the vertical corners should be caulked as well. So if it were me,
okay,
I would take out that old caulking that you said you sort of just slapped on there. Then
yeah.
I would use a little grout removal tool that's like a little like a toothbrush with little stones on it, and grind out a little bit of the grouting where the base meets the wall, just so I get a little eighth of an inch depth all the way around the perimeter. And then on the corners, the inside corners, I'd do the same, coming up about a foot.
Okay.
Then I would buy 100% silicone caulking. I'd dry it, let it dry, put a fan on it so it's super dry,
yep.
like overnight.
Yep.
And
yep.
then make sure there's no dust. And then I would put a nice bead and tool with your finger when you're done of
yep.
100% like GE silicone caulking. All the way around the perimeter and on the vertical joint as well, tool it nice and smooth, let that dry, and then do your test one more time, and I'd fill it and hold it for 2 days. And if you get no leaks then, you're able to go ahead and finish appropriately how you want to do below. Dan, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time here, 9:55 in the morning.
Life,
news,
thought,
opinion,
learning.
Let's learn more together. On 720 WGN.
Hi, Barry Sterner, owner of Townstone Financial. I could talk to you all day about how I feel about Townstone's service, low closing costs, and great rates. But how about listening to one of our customers?
My name's Elisa French. I have completed 3 refinances with Townstone Financial and with Barry Sterner over the past 15 years. We have never paid closing costs. They've always made the process really simple.
Remember, nobody values your business more than Townstone Financial, and I'm always available to answer your questions. Call me now, Barry Sterner, 312-896-2111, or go to townstone.com.
Townstone Financial, Illinois Mortgage License C6629, and NMLS 1-
713-6639.
This Thanksgiving, award the winners in your family with the best pie in America from Baker Square. They deserve the best pie for defending their titles every year. Like Aunt Mary, best at stating the obvious.
Wow, Ted, you have way less hair than last year.
And Grandma Hazel, world's strongest hugger.
Please let go.
Your award-winning family deserves Baker Square pies, like chocolatey French silk or delicious pumpkin supreme topped with caramel drizzle. Order your Thanksgiving pies today at bakersquare.com.
The BMO Harris Bank Magnificent Mile Lights Festival is supported by Lifeway Foods, a leading supplier of kefir-cultured beverages and probiotic products for the entire family. Anytime and anywhere, Lifeway is there to help support healthy digestion and immunity, keeping you feeling your best. Learn more at lifewaykefir.com.
There's a reason they call me Mr. Fix-It. When you have a problem around the house that needs fixing, I'm your go-to guy. And when you're ready for a new car or truck, well, the go-to guys and gals are at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. You need a new truck? Chevy can fix you up. Need a new SUV? Chevy can fix you up. Want a great lease? Check out Chevy's Big Fix lease on a 2017 Chevy Traverse. It's a fantastic lease deal that can lower your monthly payments, get you a lot more Chevy for a lot less money. Talk about saving money. Right now, during the 2017 Chevy closeout, get 20% off MSRP on most of Chevy's all-star lineup. Or use special closeout pricing to get over $3,100 below MSRP on a Chevy Colorado Crew Cab Z71. People wait all year for these deals, and they're here. But only until November 30th. Head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. The 2017 Chevy closeout. You ask your Chevy dealer to fix you up.
Happy trails to you.
Time for our last call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. We've got Jim in Grays Lake. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
We have a Parkwood Bamboo 4 in the house, and we've got a white spot by the sliding glass doors. We're currently a wet towel was sitting there for a while, picking up rainwater. Tried all kinds of things to get rid of it. Can't do it.
I heard your question. I'm going to put you on hold just because there's a lot of static on the line. It specifically says this on the bottle, not to use it on the floors, but I want you to do it anyway. Howard's Restore Finish in neutral with quadruple zero steel wool to get rid of that white water ring on the bamboo floor. Just back and forth, just a little bit over the top of that board, and then wipe it with a clean rag, and it should be able to take that white spot away from that floor. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. No, because when we switch, we're going to lose the phones. So I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We talked today about the Northern Illinois Food Bank. We're going to put those links up on my Facebook page and the webpage. If you can make a donation to feed someone who's hungry this year, please do. And we're going to figure out a way to do a live remote and get volunteers out to that place after the first of the year.